Welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte, a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real-life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, check me out at ritaschulte.com. That's S-C-H-U-L-T-E.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. You can also find me on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC or follow me on Twitter at Heartline Pod. So let's get going on this journey of the heart. Have you ever underestimated the power of prayer? Fern Nichols didn't, especially when it came to praying for her kids. So back in 1984, when she had apprehensions about sending her two oldest kids off to junior high, she started looking for prayer warriors. She called together some like-minded moms who met each week to pray, and she grew a ministry we've come to know as Moms in Touch. Today, Moms in Prayer International. There are groups in every state and in 140 countries around the globe. Today, we're going to talk about how the changing tide in today's culture gives us more reason than ever to gird up our loins and pray for our kids. Fern, welcome to Heartline.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure having you.
Oh, my goodness, Rita. I am so excited to talk with you today.
Well, take us back to the mid-80s when you were sending your kids off to school. What was going on in your heart?
Oh, my goodness. I tell you, it was truly a day of crisis when I sent my two oldest boys off to that junior high school. It was like a releasing of their little lives like never before.
Yes.
I mean, you know, in elementary school, you can be the homeroom mom and or, you know, you can go help in the classroom or go on the trips and all of that. But in junior high, it's kind of a different deal. And it's really, really a greater trust as we send our children off to school, not, you know, no matter what age. But boy, that really hit me. And I said, oh, Lord, I've got to pray. I mean, this is really getting serious. And I just knew that corporate prayer was powerful and a united agreement prayer. God says in his word, I mean, exponentially, it's just multiplied. So I said, Lord, there must be one other mom who will take time out of her busy, busy schedule and pray. And the Lord laid upon my heart another mom. And I immediately called her and said, oh, we got to get together and pray. We're not going to talk. We're really going to pray.
Mm-hmm.
She said, yes, I'd love to. The next week, there are about five of us. And that's all about 29 years ago. And we're now in over 140 countries.
Oh, my gosh.
So this was God's heart.
Oh, my gosh. That is just, what a story. You know, something I read about you that was super cool was that you had a heart for prayer from the time you were a little girl. And that came from your mom, didn't it? Didn't she kind of convey the importance of prayer? And
you know, she really did. I mean, I never stopped thanking God for saving my mom because when she asked Christ into her life, I mean, she was a new creature. And boy, we were in church. And she learned how to pray, and we just didn't go to church and pray. I mean, she prayed at home. We prayed at every meal before bedtime. Sometime before we even left the driveway to go someplace. And what I didn't realize, of course, at the time was that my mom was saying that there was a Heavenly Father that cared about everything in our life and we could talk to Him. And so really my whole life has been talking to the Heavenly Father. So I'm so grateful for that heritage.
Oh, absolutely. That is so powerful. What do you think your apprehensions were? Remembering back those years, you know,
yeah,
when you sent the boys off to school in the 80s. I mean, we're talking the 80s. It's so much worse out there now, but.
Oh, my goodness. You are so absolutely right. But I think the thing that really kind of burdened my heart and put fear in my heart was, you know, that they were raised knowing truth. They accepted Christ at a young age. And yet I saw little bents in their life that, you know, was selfish,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to fit in. And so I knew that they would be facing a lot of things at that junior high school that Satan would want to rob, you know, steal their faith away and destroy and even maybe kill them. You know, I mean, he's out to do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so just the pressures of that I felt that they would be facing that would undermine their faith. I mean, I was sending them truly on a battlefield because the Christian worldview was not at that public school. So I knew that I needed some Aaron and hers as they went on the battlefield every day. I didn't want Satan to have one gleeful moment of their life, and I knew that took prayer because I couldn't follow them around and say, now, that's humanistic teaching, yeah, or don't look at her.
Yeah, yeah. Or don't hang around with this group. Or
yeah, don't hang around with this group.
Well, I can resonate with what you're saying because I can remember doing the exact same thing when I sent my son to public school. My daughter went to Christian school till her senior year in high school. And then my son, you know, we had a lot of problems with the Christian school. And I ended up putting him into public school mid eighth grade, but I'll never forget going over there and walking through the halls. And when the bell rang, it was like, oh my gosh, just what I saw. Like, you know, I was freaking out and I was so burdened and I came home crying. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's going to, you know, that whole thing. And, you know, boy, but you know, Fern, the thing is that even having my kids in Christian school for a long time, I just, mm-hmm. I mean, I think we can't use that as the safe haven because there was a lot of bad things going on in the Christian school too. Not maybe to the degree or to the extent, but after my daughter got out of there and, you know, we talked about the stuff that was going on and, you know, I just think moms need to have a heart for prayer no matter where your kid is.
You know, I really, really appreciate you saying that because no matter where we send our child to school, if it's charter school, you know, Christian school, homeschool,
yes,
they have an old sin nature.
Yes.
And they need prayer. And I think what is so awesome about this ministry, it's constantly reminding us that our prayers make a difference, that Jesus has made us a part of the kingdom of priests, and he wants us to join him, the high priest, to have his will done on earth as it is in heaven. So I so agree. I mean, Satan does not want the Christian schools to be salt and light to the world. And so I am so excited when Christian moms realize they need to get together and pray for that Christian school as well.
Yeah. So you started meeting with a few moms. How did the idea grow and catch on? Like, your group got too big and you just started breaking it up? Or?
Well, actually, what was so amazing about this vision that God gave me, which I really, you know, they say that when there's a real passion in your heart, it can become a dream or a vision, and you don't even realizing at the time, you're just being obedient one
yes.
step at a time. I tell people they never know on one unassuming day while you're abiding what God has in mind.
Yeah.
And so we were seeing so many answers to prayer, Rita. I mean, just we could not help but tell others, oh my goodness, this is what's happening at our school. This is what's happened in my life as we are praying together these four steps of prayer this hour. This is what happened in my child's life. Well, then it was by word of mouth, so I was getting calls on the phone saying, oh, we need a group for our school. Can you come over to my house? I'll bring some women and tell us how to do this. So I was going to different homes, and churches got hold of it, and I was going to churches. I did some prayer retreats, and it just, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. God,
it was a grassroots Holy Spirit prayer movement. But where we really, really grew was when we were on Dr. Dobson's program in 1988, and that was just a miracle in itself that we were on his program. And as a result of that program, we were on for 3 days, which was a huge answer to prayer above and beyond,
mm-hmm.
over 120,000 responses to that program.
Wow.
It was touching. It was meeting needs of moms who were fearful.
Yeah.
And this ministry provided truth that prayers make a difference. And you know the other thing, Rita, is we need each other. as moms, we need this kind of support through prayer. I mean, to hear another mom pray for my child, the faith-believing prayer she has for my child, I mean, it's just like we have tissues all the time because it's just powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can't go it alone. We were created for relationship. God is a relational God. We need to bear each other's burdens. It's all really powerful when women come together, when anybody comes together and prays.
Well, and especially in prayer, because I just read this not too long ago, that 90% of the prayer teaching in the Word of God is corporate.
Mm.
We sense and know King Jesus is in that prayer meeting when we come together. The fullness of Christ is made known. And I tell you, those prayer meetings, is just, as Spurgeon says, is a reception of power. And we are experiencing God's heart and Him saying to His bride, I want you to come together. And you know, when we look in the book of Acts and we see what happened when the disciples came together, mm-hmm. I mean, that little bunch of frightened disciples up in that upper room turned the world upside down.
Amen.
In that prayer meeting.
Yeah.
You know, Paul and Silas in the prison praying and singing, and mm-hmm. the whole place shakes and everybody's freed. I mean, you know, I'm praying that God the Holy Spirit will so reveal to the hearts of His bride the importance, the privilege, and the power of prayer.
Yeah, I think sometimes we minimize it.
Yeah.
You know, we just think, oh, well, you know, I prayed for this for so long and it doesn't work. Uh-huh. It doesn't help. You know, what about the mom who believed and prayed and travailed and her prayers haven't been answered for her child? What do you tell her?
I say, well, you know what? God is God and He's got the plan and His plans are higher than ours. And apparently in God's timetable, He will allow it when He knows it's the right time. But you know what? And I also say to them, what God wants to do with us in the waiting room, to trust Him when we don't see anything happen. And what He's saying to us, I believe, is, honey, will you trust my heart? Will you trust me to know that I've heard that prayer because it's according to my word and it's according to my will? Will you trust me that I am at work even though you don't see anything? And boy, that's when our faith grows.
Oh,
when we don't see anything.
Yeah, that's powerful, because what you just said about, will you trust my heart? And that's my passion, is for people to mm-hmm. see the heart of God. Because when prayers don't get answered sometimes, we misjudge His heart. You know, we don't believe His intentions for us are good. And when we do that, then we step away, we stop praying, we start formulating all kinds of false beliefs about God. And then that hinders our relationship with Him.
You know, it does. And that's what I love about our hour of prayer, because at the outset of the hour is we choose an attribute. An attribute means what is true about God.
Mm-hmm.
And we praise Him through His word for that particular attribute. And, you know, the one I think of right off the bat is God is good. He's not good some of the time. He's not good just when He answers our prayer. God is good. And what that does, it solidifies in our heart as we praise Him together that, God, You are good. And You promise You will work all things together for good to those that love You and are called according to Your purpose, so that You might conform us to the image of Your Son. You are good. And those attributes that we actually, if I could say it this way, rehearse every week. I mean, His sovereignty. He is the King. He's on the throne. He's not off the throne just because the whole world seems in, you know, just this chaotic mess. No, the King is on the throne. Oh, well, what does that do to our heart? Oh, my goodness, if I can trust the God like that, I can trust the God I know. And so this ministry teaches us really who God really is.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we miss the goal of prayer anyway. It's not necessarily about changing the outcomes, although it's great when mm-hmm. that does happen. Mm-hmm. But I think prayer is first and foremost about building intimacy with God in our own hearts and lives, isn't it?
I agree.
It changes us.
It does. And he says he wants us to ask. I mean, oh my goodness, how many times has he told us to ask or to cry out? Because that gives, you know, that we can't do it. We're helpless. And the dependency is upon him. And he loves that dependency that we have on him. And what he is also saying in the answer when he does, he says, I'm getting glory. I get glory through answered prayer. And he says, you get joy. And I'm saying, boy, that's a great deal.
It sure is. Tell us about the four steps of prayer.
The four steps of prayer is four, I call them prayer principles that are taught in the Word. And, you know, the Lord's Prayer, when the disciples came to him and said, teach us to pray, he didn't say, well, you know, you just go away and it'll just come to you. No, he was very strategic when he taught them the prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It's a strategic prayer. There's praise in there. There's confession in there. There's asking. And so this is what we do. We are just taking the mandate and the beautiful prayer that God has given us, and we are praying it specifically for children in school. So we start with praise, seeing God on the throne, all of his characteristics of who he is and his love, compassion, kindness, his omniscience, his omnipotence. Oh, my goodness. And then seeing the holy God on the throne and who he is, it causes us then to say, okay, where's my heart? Am I trusting that God? And so we have a time of silent confession where, Lord, search your heart. See if there's anything that's just not quite right here in our belief or in our relationship with somebody else. It's a wonderful time of allowing the Holy Spirit to set us free. To set us free from sin.
And break strongholds.
And to break strongholds. That's absolutely right, because if our heart is not right, it hinders our prayers.
Yes.
Well, we're going to be praying at the end of this hour, and we don't want our prayers hindered. So we need to get right so that the Lord can hear and answer our prayers. So I love the confession time with the heart getting right before the Lord, and it just flows into thanksgiving. Oh, God, thank you. You always forgive. Your blood always cleanses. And so that leads us into a time of thanksgiving. That thanksgiving time is truly a faith-increasing time because of the prayers that we prayed before that week. Oh, my goodness, so many answers to prayer at that school, in our children's lives, in relationships with teachers. I mean, just a lot of answers to prayer. And we also thank him for the prayer that's not answered yet, because that says, God, I trust your plan.
Mm.
And then after that time, a rich time of thanksgiving, then we come before the Lord in intercession. And I use the word intercession and not petition, because intercession is a word that says always that you pray for others. You pray for others. You pray on another person's behalf. You're standing in the gap for another. So we stand in the gap for our children, for their friends, for the other kids at the school, for the coaches, for the administration, for all the teachers. I mean, what a beautiful position in the name of Jesus to stand in the gap. And during this intercession time, we use God's word. We take the word of God and the promises and the will of his word, place our child's name right there in the mighty living word of God, knowing that it's God's heart. And if it's God's heart, he promises he will answer. So this is a really powerful time of joining Christ, the high priest, coming before the Father, praying the Father's heart for our children in schools. And I know there's been some really sad, horrific, heart-wrenching things that have happened in our schools in light of deaths. And
yes.
And, you know, salvation has come from that, I know. But, you know, I really believe of all the other times that the Lord has intervened and has stopped any harm coming to our school because we've prayed. Actually, one group, I mean, this was a powerful testimony, prayed specifically for protection that day. A woman came on that campus, pointed a gun at a teacher, and the gun did not go off.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I tell you, we are in a spiritual battle. I mean, it is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan, and the kingdom of God has reigned and ruled and was victorious at the cross. So now we come before him to thwart the plans of the enemy. So we say to the Christian mom, oh my goodness, don't miss out on being a warrior. Don't miss out on what your prayers united with other moms' prayers can do in light of this generation being a Jesus generation, of this generation having revival and spiritual awakening on our campuses. But we need those who will ask. God says, you have not because you ask not. Well, I'm saying let's get together and ask.
Amen. Because it's becoming increasingly dark in our culture now. So more than ever, we need to be girding up our loins and praying without ceasing for our children and our grandchildren.
Oh, I love my grandma's in prayer group.
Well, do you know Lillian Penner? I just interviewed her last week. She does. She wrote Grandparenting with a Purpose, and she's kind of doing this with grandparents around the country now.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, when us grandmas get together and cry out for our grandkids, I mean, you say that mama bears are bears?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, we must be, I don't know who we are, but I mean, having eight grandchildren and one on the way in January,
wow.
It's like got a lot of praying to do. But you know what's so sweet about this as well is my daughter and my daughter-in-law have caught the vision of the power of prayer. So as they pray in their moms in prayer group for that grandchild, their child, I'm praying with grandmas for that grandchild. It's like a double portion of prayer for that grandchild. Isn't that cool?
That's so cool. What are you seeing in the culture today that's causing you the most concern, Fern?
Well, I think it is we are not grounded in truth of God's word. Oh, how I pray that the word of God dwells richly in my grandchildren. Because you see, the world is just going this direction. But if we don't have the foundation of the word of God, we don't have anything to take it back to say, oh, hey, that's false.
Right.
That's not what God says. So I think my sadness is that we don't know God's word and we don't believe it. And we're kind of making things up. You know, like there's more than one way to God. Well, the Word of God does not say that. There is one God, the one only true God, and there's only one way to God. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So there's so many rich, rich knowings in the Word of God that I don't think this generation and the next generation is in the Word.
Yeah, they're not being trained up.
So we're floundering, and we're listening to the world because it sounds okay.
Yeah, it sounds great. It's all about us.
Yeah.
You've got a new book coming out.
Yeah. Oh,
you've got a new book coming out, Moms in Prayer, Standing in the Gap for Your Children. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I am so excited about this book. As I just reread it again, in light of it coming out now, it's a revision and an update of the Every Child Needs a Praying Mom. But what is in this book is timeless, and I'm so grateful for Zondervan reprinting and updating it because the truths are timeless. They are the Word of God, and it deals with things like how do you become a confident prayer? How do you really know that God is hearing and will answer your prayer? And it talks about praise and confession. You know, how do you remove the rubble in your life when, you know, you just feel stuck and you don't feel like God's hearing your prayers? How, you know, and the guilt of your sin. You know, it's not only that we sin, but when we ask forgiveness, we're still feeling guilty. How do we get free from that? And then the Thanksgiving, the intercession, standing in the gap, and what that means. I give a lot of illustrations and stories. I use my own family as illustration and things that I've prayed for my children in light of God hearing and answering prayer. And what are the promises? You know, what are the promises for now? And what are the promises that have a condition with it? And how do we get ready to fight? How do we keep this resolve of being a soldier in Christ's army, you know, with the armor of God, I talk about it and what it means and the powerful weapon of the Word of God in prayer, praying in Jesus' name. I mean, it's all the things that we need to walk in victory today and to be a part of the kingdom of light and many, many coming to know the Lord if we will but pray. And then I do have a chapter on keep praying no matter what. And that's what you kind of addressed
yes.
a little bit ago. How do we do that? Especially if you're in leadership, especially, we're all in leadership. You know, everybody's in leadership. But I mean, like if in a ministry, like a couple of my boys were going their own little separate ways in high school, and how Satan would come against and say, how can you, you know, be the president of this prayer ministry when your own kids aren't walking with the Lord? How do you deal with that? How Satan wants to discourage us. He wants to give us doubts. Well, he's the biggest liar ever. And how do we not fall into listening to that and to keep, you know, every day denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following him? I can't take up my children's cross. I have to be responsible for taking up my cross. And so I really believe this is a rich book with a lot of scripture. And at the end, it gives scripture and how to pray for your children, how to pray for your prodigal, how to pray for your husband. I don't know. I'm very, very excited for this book to be out today. And
well, that's
standing
awesome.
In the gap.
Oh my gosh! Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. And God bless you for all you've done
oh,
for
Rita,
moms and for prayer,
so
for showing us the importance of prayer, and just blessings to all you continue to put your hands to.
And you as well, my dear sister. Being on your program is an answer to prayer, as we desire for every school in the world to have two or more moms praying for that school. Can you imagine what God could do with an entire generation prayed for?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Thank you for being with us, my friend.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
God
you.
Bless.
Thanks for joining me today. If you have a question or comment, or you'd like to be a guest on Heartline, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at ritaschulte.com, on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or Twitter at Heartline Pod. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.